Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Nartrees Podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book. Free and Equal: A Manifesto for a Just Society is a work of political philosophy and progressive public argument by Daniel Chandler, drawing heavily on John Rawls. Especially a theory of justice, the book asks what a fair society would look like if it were designed from the standpoint of impartiality rather than privilege. Chandler uses Rawls's ideas to argue that freedom and equality are not opposing values, but mutually reinforcing principles that should shape institutions, markets, and democracy. The book is not a technical academic treatise. It is written as a manifesto meant to connect abstract theory to practical reform. Its purpose is to show how Rawlsian justice can speak to current debates about inequality, political power, social rights, climate responsibility, gender, and racial justice, and the limits of market-driven politics. By translating a major philosophical framework into accessible policy thinking, the book aims to make a case for a realistic but ambitious vision of a more just society. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, how Rawls' original position reframes fairness as impartial design. The book begins from Rawls's central thought experiment: if people had to design society without knowing their own status, class, gender, race, or talents, they would choose rules that protect them in any position. Chandler uses this idea to explain why justice should not be judged by how well outcomes reward the powerful, but by whether institutions are fair from everyone's point of view. This framing matters because it shifts the discussion away from merit alone and toward the conditions under which social rules are chosen. Chandler presents Rawls as offering a disciplined way to think about fairness that is neither utopian fantasy nor market pragmatism. The original position becomes a tool for evaluating real institutions if a policy would look unacceptable to someone who might end up disadvantaged. It likely fails the test of justice. In this sense, the book makes abstract philosophy politically useful. It gives readers a method for assessing social arrangements without relying on special advantage, inherited status, or partisan instinct. That methodological clarity is one of the book's defining features. Secondly, two principles of justice and the case for equal basic liberties. A major theme of the book is Rawls's claim that any just society must first secure a fully adequate scheme of basic liberties for everyone. Chandler emphasizes rights such as freedom of speech, religion, conscience, association, and political participation as non-negotiable foundations, not optional benefits. The point is not simply that liberties should exist on paper, but that they must be protected in a way that gives them real force across society. Chandler uses this principle to argue against systems that formally recognize rights while allowing wealth, social power, or institutional bias to hollow them out. The book also explains Rawls's second principle, according to which economic inequalities are only justified if they improve the position of the least advantaged. This makes inequality conditional rather than inherently acceptable. Chandler's treatment is important because it shows that liberty and equality are not competing moral camps in Rawlsian thought. Instead, liberty sets the baseline and inequality must pass a fairness test. That structure helps readers understand why Rawls remains influential. He offers a principled way to defend freedom while still criticizing unequal societies that leave too many people with weak real opportunities. Thirdly, political equality beyond the right to vote. Chandler gives special attention to political equality, arguing that democracy is not truly fair if citizens have formally equal votes but very unequal influence. This is one of the book's most contemporary contributions. He follows Rawls in stressing that political power should not track wealth, media concentration, or unequal access to decision makers. Equal political liberty therefore means more than ballot access. It includes a fair chance to shape public debate and collective decisions. Chandler uses this idea to connect justice theory to practical institutional questions such as campaign finance, lobbying, and ownership of the media. The implication is that a society can remain nominally democratic while still allowing a small minority to dominate political agendas. By treating influence as a justice issue, the book widens the scope of democratic reform. It suggests that inequality in voice is as serious as inequality in income, because it affects which policies are possible in the first place. This topic makes the book especially relevant to readers concerned with democratic decay, polarization, and the feeling that ordinary citizens have too little say in public life. It turns democratic equality into a substantive standard rather than a ceremonial one. Fourthly, justice as more than redistribution work, self-respect, and social inclusion. Another important theme is Chandler's insistence that fairness cannot be reduced to income redistribution alone. Drawing from Rawls, he argues that justice also involves access to meaningful work, social inclusion, and the conditions needed for self-respect. This expands the conversation beyond tax and transfer policy. A society may narrow income gaps and still be unjust if large numbers of people are trapped in insecure, low status, or unfulfilling work, or if groups are excluded from equal participation in social life. Chandler presents this broader view of fairness as especially relevant to gender equality, racial justice, and LGBTQ rights, since these issues concern status, opportunity, and recognition as much as material resources. The book also links justice to the ability to develop one's talents under fair conditions rather than under inherited disadvantage. This makes the argument more comprehensive than standard egalitarian economics. Instead of asking only who gets what, Chandler asks who gets dignity, voice, and the chance to flourish on equal terms. That wider lens is a major reason the book stands apart from narrower policy books about inequality. Lastly, sustainability and intergenerational justice as part of the just society, Chandler extends Rawlsian justice into environmental and intergenerational questions, arguing that fairness also applies to people who will live in the future. This is a significant move because it treats sustainability not as a separate issue from justice, but as one of its core demands. If present generations consume resources recklessly or allow ecological damage that leaves future citizens worse off, they are violating the same moral logic that governs fairness among people today. The book therefore connects climate responsibility to the broader Rawlsian idea that no one should be forced to live under arrangements they could not reasonably accept from an impartial standpoint. Chandler's treatment of sustainability is practical rather than symbolic. A just society must preserve livable environmental conditions, stable institutions, and sufficient resources for those who come after us. This gives the manifesto a wider moral horizon than many political theory books that stay focused on current distribution. It also helps explain why the book has contemporary force. By integrating climate and justice, Chandler shows that Rawlsian liberalism can address modern crises without abandoning its core principles. The result is a coherent vision of fairness that reaches across generations, not just across social classes. In conclusion, Free and Equal is best suited for readers who want political philosophy that leads directly to institutional and policy questions. It will appeal to students of philosophy, economics, political theory, public policy, and to general readers interested in inequality and democratic reform. Its main value lies in its combination of clarity and ambition. Chandler does not merely summarize Rawls, but uses Rawls to argue for a recognizable program of progressive change. That makes the book intellectually useful for readers who want a principled framework for thinking about freedom, equality, and power rather than a collection of disconnected policy debates. Compared with many books in the same genre, it stands out for its effort to make a classic theory of justice feel current without simplifying it into slogans. It also distinguishes itself by treating political equality, social status, and sustainability as part of the justice agenda, not secondary concerns. Readers looking for a serious but accessible guide to Rawlsian thinking will find a coherent and timely interpretation here. It offers not just critique of inequality, but a structured way to imagine what a fairer society would require. If you would like to support Daniel Chandler, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.